It's BBC Radio Gloucestershire, 12 minutes past 10, and if I say Freemason, what image does that conjure up in your mind? Handshakes? Secretive rituals? Reciting ancient texts behind closed doors, or raising money for charity? Well, let's find out a bit more about modern Freemasonry. Mark Smith is a senior Freemason in Gloucestershire, and he joins me in the studio this morning. Hello, Mark. Nice to see you.
Hello, Chris. Good morning.
And you're based in Stroud, aren't you?
I am, yes.
First of all, let's just ask you the question I've been asking anyway this morning. Has being a member of a club or society, in your case Freemasonry, has it changed your life?
Chris, firstly, may I say thank you very much for inviting me in this morning to talk about Freemasonry and the work of the Freemasons Grand Charity. It certainly has changed my life. I joined Freemasonry about 12 years ago, and I didn't know much about it when I joined, as many people don't. And I've progressed through Masonry to a point where I've been asked to do the job of Provincial Grand Almoner, which is why I'm here talking to you about the charity work today. And I now give a considerable amount of my time to helping others less fortunate living in Gloucestershire. Because I spend so much time doing it, it's had a significant impact on my life.
So you found it rewarding? What else have you found about it? What's it done for you personally?
It's hugely rewarding in the role that I have in being able to help people that have fallen on hard times, and to be able to offer an extra sort of tier of support. We have a network of almoners who, we've got 80 lodges in Gloucestershire, and each lodge has an almoner. And my responsibility is to work with them in helping them support the members of their lodges and those families associated with them.
What does almoner mean?
An almoner is a person who essentially looks after the welfare. In modern terms, he's like a welfare officer, for the individual lodge.
Okay. And when you say helping people who are less fortunate than you, are they fellow Freemasons or families of, or just everybody?
It's not just Freemasons, but a lot of the support that we give is for our membership and their families and dependents. We are a membership organisation, like a number of organisations are. No different, perhaps, to if you were an engineer or a firefighter, and they've got their own benevolent funds that they contribute towards. Freemasonry is exactly the same. Our members donate to the charities, principally the Freemasons Grand Charity, and then that money can be applied for on a means-tested basis and comes back to help those that need support. But as well as that, you know, we provide support to the wider community and support a number of local charities and organisations within Gloucestershire, and the Freemasons Grand Charity also does that on a national basis to national charities.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think, you know, if you ask anyone in the street, and I asked somebody on the phone just a few minutes ago, what do they think about Freemasonry? People will say, well, I know it's secretive, I know it's behind closed doors, but I also know they do a lot for charity. So that sort of word has got out, hasn't it, that you do work for charity. How did you get involved? I mean, how were you asked, or how did you find yourself in Freemasonry?
Well, firstly, one of the misconceptions is that you have to be asked to become a Freemason. Actually, it's the other way around. Freemasons like to be asked by potential members to find out a little bit more about it and for them to put themselves forward.
Oh.
So we've got this misconception that people are waiting to be asked, and Masons are waiting for people to ask, so perhaps that might not help with the recruitment. So hopefully that sort of sets things straight. But from my own personal perspective, I've got quite a nice little story as to how I came to Freemasonry. And that is, I grew up in Butterough, near Stroud. And there was a lovely gentleman, a lovely couple that lived in the village, Mr. and Mrs. Langley. And Mr. Langley was a very polite and gentle man. And when I was 6, 7 years old, he always took the time to stop and talk to me. And it's so, he was somebody that I respected from a very early age. And when I was about 14 years old, he was interviewed by the local paper in his regalia. And that sort of spurned my initial interest in Freemasonry. I knew nothing about it, and then nothing more about it until when I was about 27. A good friend of mine happened to mention to me one weekend when we were working together that he was joining the Masons. And I said to him, well, that might be something I'm interested in. And the following week, he came back to me and said, well, I've spoken to Dad and I've spoken to my uncle, and they said, if you're interested, they'll put you forward.
Hmm.
And for me, that's how it came about.
They'll put you forward. So once you've made that initial inquiry, do you have to be forwarded by, somebody?
Yeah, as with many organisations and clubs, you need to be proposed and seconded into the organisation.
Yeah.
So that happened, and I went for an informal interview to talk about what interests me, so they could get an understanding of my personality to see if it's something that they think that I would enjoy.
Can we do some myth-busting in a minute?
Of course.
So stay with us for a bit, and we'll also talk a little bit more about the charitable work as well. So it's Mark Smith who's with me this morning, Freemason from Stroud, talking about the whole thing of Freemasonry, and if you've got a question for him, feel free to give us a call. 01452 307575. You can text GLOSS, G-L-O-S, and your message to 81333. It's BBC Radio Gloucestershire. About Freemasonry this morning. Mark Smith is here, who's a senior Freemason in Gloucestershire. Mark, let's get some of these questions that people are dying to ask you.
Okay.
Is there a secret handshake?
There are a number of ways in which Freemasons recognise each other as part of the allegorical one-act plays that form what we call our Masonic ceremonies. These take their rise from a time when Masons would travel across Europe to work on medieval buildings, so building of cathedrals and such. And as part of the process of becoming a Mason, you go through three ceremonies, and you learn and you pick up new things as you go through those ceremonies. And so the way in which you would recognise how you progress to the next stage would be by perhaps signs or words. And those are the only things that we keep secret, if you like, in Masonry. They're private to the members. The reason we do that is purely because it would spoil it for a new candidate coming through. And in medieval times, a craftsman would demonstrate, because he was perhaps illiterate, he would use words and signs to demonstrate that proof of his skill level when seeking work in far-off lands. And that's where it dates its symbolism from.
So if you were meeting somebody in the street and you were shaking their hand for the first time, would you be doing something to see whether or not they're a Freemason as well?
Well, I shook your hand this morning when I came into the studio, and I wouldn't think you thought there was anything peculiar.
I didn't feel any folded over fingers or anything,
No.
But would you know just by seeing me whether or not I was a Freemason?
No,
or not?
In everyday life, there is no need for any kind of handshake or sign or symbolism outside of the lodge room. It's purely symbolic. It's part of the teachings of Freemasonry. Has no place in wider society. And in fact, if it was used, it would be frowned upon, and it could be a disciplinary issue.
Are there any strange rituals that go on behind closed doors that if any normal person wandered in, I'm not saying you're not normal, you are a normal guy, you're a businessman, you work, but if the outsider went in would think, that's a bit bizarre.
It's unusual, it's different, and I think that's part of the appeal. A big thing with it is the fact that you don't really know what is going to happen when you go in there, and you put your trust in people that have recommended you, who have agreed for you to join. And that's part of Freemasonry. It's about building trust and building friendships with people. Is it a little bit unusual? It is, but it's all symbolic, and as you progress through it, what you learn and you discover is what it means and how we apply that to helping us develop as individuals to be the best that we can be, and reach our full potential in terms of kindness and honesty and integrity.
Okay, so I asked you earlier on if it changed your life from the point of view, you talk from the point of view of yes, it has, because it means you can do good for the community. But personally, do you think you've developed as a person from being a Mason?
Definitely. I think certainly in terms of personal confidence, here I am sat doing a live radio interview. I've not done one of these before. Would I have had the confidence to do this if I'd not had the opportunity to stand up in a lodge room and effectively reenact and learn lines in a play, standing up in front of other people? So it does. It helps you build confidence, and it helps you grow as an individual.
The other thing you hear on the grapevine is that it's all judges, policemen, business people patting each other on the back and giving each other advantages over others.
It's people from all walks of life, and I think that is what is so interesting about Freemasonry, is yes, you will meet a judge, you will meet a policeman, you will meet somebody that works in the corner shop. You know, it's a broad spectrum of people. But I think if anybody were to join Freemasonry in Gloucestershire expecting a pat on the back and a favour, they would be very disappointed, because that's not what it's about. It's about what you can do to help others and how you can grow as an individual.
Lack of women. That's something that often comes up. You know, it's a male thing, isn't it? I mean, are there any... Would that ever change? And is it old-fashioned in that sense because it's exclusive?
There are women's lodges. There are 20,000 women who are Freemasons. So it's not exclusively a male order or a male organisation. It is a female organisation as well. It's just that both sexes choose to meet for men and women respectively.
So are there women's lodges in Gloucestershire as well?
There are women's lodges that meet in Gloucestershire, yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes,
that's cleared that one up. Yeah. Okay. Now, you wanted to talk a bit about the work you've done in Gloucestershire as well. £1.6 million that has helped organisations in Gloucestershire, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. Five years ago, our provincial grandmaster, Adrian Davis, asked the members if they would raise £1 million. That £1 million to be invested in an endowment, the interest from which would serve Gloucestershire charities serving Gloucestershire people in perpetuity. In February this year, the culmination of that fundraising event took place at Tortworth Court Hotel, and the final figure was announced, which was just under £1.6 million. Of that, £300,000 had been donated directly by Gloucestershire Lodges to charities within Gloucestershire over the five-year period. Mm. And the remainder of that money has been invested with the Gloucestershire Community Foundation, which is supported by the government. And that is managed professionally by the Gloucestershire Community Foundation. And any Gloucestershire charities that are serving perhaps elderly, disabled or disadvantaged adults and children are entitled to apply, typically grants of between £250 and £2,000 for those organisations.
And the money that you've raised, is that coming from members? Or are you going out and arranging events and things and rattling tins? Or how are you getting that money?
We don't rattle tins. Essentially, all of the money raised does come from the members and their families. We do hold social events as well, which again are predominantly for members and their families, but they invite their friends as well. So, you know, it would be unfair to say it's 100% from Masons, but, you know, 95% of the money raised comes from Masons' own pockets.
Mark, thanks for coming in today. Really interesting to hear about a bit more about it. And I know you're keen for people to get in touch and find out more about, A, Freemasonry in Gloucestershire, but also to access some of that money as well. There are various ways of doing that through the Community Foundation, as you said. And you can find out more about the Grand Charity through your Gloucestershire Freemasonry website, can't you?
That's correct, yes.
So we'll make sure that's on our Facebook page a little bit later on this morning, and people can click straight from there to find out more. Thank you very much for coming in. Nice to meet you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Mark Smith, BBC Radio Gloucestershire, 28 minutes past 10.